This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. It's Europa Vision time. Joining me to discuss all things Europa Conference League and any other relevant European shenanigans, Armin Mazoyan, how are you?
Hello, I'm on cloud nine. How are you?
I'm on whatever clouds are there.
Cloud three.
But the league has to be parked to the side because we have unfinished business, which we didn't quite finish off at Villa Park.
If you're a
Legia Warsaw fan listening to this, well, you wouldn't have had a chance to see what happened at Villa Park because you were outside.
In the cold.
Accusing us of all being racists.
But we were, what, 1 centimetre away from being 3-1 up with Bailey's shot. So we almost clinched it.
I'm curious if it would be possible to see what the starting lineup would be against Zrinjski if we had qualified and won the group and basically beat Warsaw 3-1 compared to what it will be on Thursday night. Because I wonder how far into like the academy Emery would go. Because it would, you know, it's ultimately a dead rubber game, isn't it?
Yeah, would he even get the key players flying out?
Yeah,
to Bosnia. I think they have to now. With where we are in the league and how the games have gone this week, I think we won't go strong at all. No, I don't think we will.
Supporting the My Old Man Said podcast throughout the festive period is NordVPN, and they are offering listeners an extra 4 months free on top of cracking savings on their VPN package, which can potentially help with that festive viewing, especially if you're away from home this Christmas, as a VPN enables you to watch sporting events and TV shows by switching your virtual online location from a physical location that might not allow you to watch certain matches at certain hours. While at the same time, it also protects your online privacy on up to 6 devices. To get the exclusive package and also a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee, go to nordvpn.com/moms or check out this show's program notes as well. Thank you very much. In terms of Zrinjski, they lost their last game at Alkmaar, but only by a goal. I've seen the club trying to hype this game because they haven't sold it out yet. So, and it's a small stadium, and I think they're offering support. Home supporters can buy up to a maximum of 3 tickets.
Hmm.
So it's not as if it's a hot potato and it's sold out. They know they're out. So how much of that mindset seeps in when they're looking at the bigger picture of their domestic league campaign? Or do the players fancy it because it's a crack at a Premier League team? Is that where we are nowadays, that the Premier League's kind of head and shoulders above financially, and everybody, you know, if you're playing against a Premier League team, it's a big event in that context? But it doesn't look like it's exactly captured the Zrinjski fans' imagination, because it's a tournament they're now out. So we shall see.
We'll see in the lineup, won't we? If the striker Biblia, so if he's not in the team, then obviously they're resting players because they've got a domestic title to be fighting for, don't they? So
in terms of Villa, though, I would imagine. I mean, let's go from the back. I'm saying Olsen's in there.
Yeah,
right back.
I think Cash,
even academy type.
I think Emery would potentially piss off a lot of his players if the ones who haven't played games aren't given a shot.
Well, Longley's definitely going to be playing.
Yeah.
The thing is, you've got Moreno definitely starting against Brentford because of Luka Dean's suspension. So probably Luka Dean starts in this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
At the same time, you don't want to be injuring players. and you want to rest players. So there's a bit of that to obviously think about.
I don't think we'll go Martin O'Neill. I don't think we're going to play kids. I think it will be just Tendonkers. If it will be players who just haven't featured, I think they'll get the nod.
Duran will start.
Yep.
I think Tendonka will start. Who goes alongside him, I don't know. But that's probably a key position, because you've got to be good enough. And I think Duran starting is definitely in this category of being good enough to get a point, because that's all you need, really.
Yeah.
If you don't win here, nobody gives a shit, as long as you don't get beat. Zaniola will start, I would imagine. It's a real opportunity for him to get off the mark.
Yeah.
Ramsey could do with a good full, I don't know, let's say 70 minutes.
So it's still looking a decent team, isn't it? I mean, even with those players mentioned so far, that's a good side.
The thing about Ramsey is you probably start him in this, but not with a view to play the full 90, because he potentially starts at Brentford with Douglas Luiz coming out. McGinn may have to drop back unless he wants to go Tendonka there.
Yeah.
But we will see.
It was actually one of the things against Man City in the City game that was quite pleasant, was when we brought on two subs, you know, players that at Diaby's one of our pretty much record signings, and he bringing him off the bench because he didn't warrant a starting place because Bailey's been playing so well. And you just look at the depth of that team. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a column for the BBC Sport. It was essentially having a go at their own columnist, Garth Crooks, without them kind of knowing, because he's the one who referred to Villa's chance, even thinking about the title, would be sheer fantasy. And I mentioned in that outsiders don't really realise the depth we have in the squad at the moment. And we've got a January window to obviously add to that.
But it's just amazing that, you know, for a journalist to say that, having a witness.
He's not a journalist, he's just an ex-player. And having known him all my childhood growing up, his views are always skew-whiffy. It's not like there's certain people, and like Jimmy Hill, if you remember him, it's not like certain people have, difference of opinion, it's good. These are two examples of opinions that are just wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a matter of opinion. They're just wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. We are digressing. But yeah, it should be strong enough with the likes of Zaniola, Duran, Longley, even Olsen, to get the job done. And I think you'll get an insight into the midfield that he's planning against Brentford to compensate for the Luiz suspension by who starts against Zrinski. But you'd imagine Ramsey to start, just to get the minutes in his legs.
I think it's a chance. So in Poland, when we played some other squad players to get the minutes in them, they didn't really turn up. So I don't think the atmosphere will overwhelm them now this time, because they've been to Warsaw. But what I imagine Emery wants to see is these players to really, you know, Zaniolo to really now try and get his goal, try and influence the game more, and you know, even Ramsey, fight for your place, show why you need to be in that starting 11, because the competition's furious now to get into this Villa 11.
They've got to obviously step up, yeah, and that's why up. We should have enough to get a point, whoever we put out, because they'll be motivated. The other game is potentially more interesting than this one. Certainly, if I had a choice to go to either or, I would probably go to Legia Warsaw versus Alkmaar, just for the atmosphere again.
Well, the way you and Bud have described it, I'd quite like to witness that.
And there's death of glory on the line as well, because if Alkmaar win that, Alkmaar are through. See you later, Legia Warsaw. And Legia just needs a point to finish that one off. But Alkmaar, I mean, it'd be an interesting game, because I'm sure on their day they can beat Legia Warsaw, but Warsaw have got that atmosphere. Sometimes you freeze in front of your own crowd, but we shall see. I saw some of their fans before the tournament starts say, yeah, Villa should go through, and then it's up to us to battle it out with Alkmaar, and this is their perfect chance, and they've got the home tie as well, so that should be a humdinger.
Who would you rather play again if you say we meet them later in the competition over two legs? Would you rather have one over the other?
To be honest, I'm not bothered.
Mm.
You know, I like the controversy of playing Legia Warsaw again. If it's two-legged, I'm sure nobody wants the police or Villa don't want to be playing Legia Warsaw again.
Surely their fans will be banned, you know, for the new year.
But having a morbid sense of humour, I would probably say that one, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. Right, Europa Conference League at large. It's starting to shape up as you first expected it. I mean, even like, you know, Dynamo Zagreb have risen from the grave and have found themselves second in their league, despite only winning two of the five games. So yeah. they're somebody I expected to go through, considering they were playing Champions League, and I think they beat Chelsea, didn't they, like last season?
Yeah, they've done the reverse Fenerbahce, haven't they?
Yeah, so a lot of these teams have literally floated to the top with one game to go. Group A, Slovan Bratislava, Villa have actually played back in the day.
When was that? What year was that?
93/94.
Oh, okay. I was too young to appreciate it back then.
So a previous opponent of Villa, they'll be in the next round. Maybe we'll meet them again. Lille, unbeaten in that group. They'll be one of the threats. They're actually doing pretty well in the French league, aren't they? They're top four at the moment.
Yeah, they are.
Group B, you will be seeing Ghent and Tel Aviv get through that group.
And just to add so far, so Lille and Ghent are both unbeaten in this competition so far as well. So they've been strong.
So Victoria Pilsen, they're actually 100%. They're in Dynamo Zagreb's league. Dynamo Zagreb still have work to do. Dynamo are playing Balkany, who I think are bottom, aren't they?
Well, they're both on 4 points, the teams below, so technically it's still...
Oh, it's still up for grabs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dynamo Zagreb at home, Club Bruges are through with...
Bodo Glimt, and Bruges as well, a team with zero defeats so far in the competition, 1-4 out of 5.
Yeah, Bruges, one of the favourites also, one of the dark horses for this, and Norwegian representation will be in there with Glimt, who have done pretty well, and Besiktas, who were expected to perhaps do something here, finish bottom of the group.
Yeah, lost 4 out of 5, really. Poor showing.
Then Group F, Fiorentina, top of the group, won their last three. We'll go to also the unbeaten, how do you say it?
Ferencváros.
The Hungarians, who will actually host them. I mean, they have to win that to pip Fiorentina to the group.
Mm.
But both should be through. I think both have qualified.
It depends on the games between Genk and Ferencváros. So if Genk have got a better... Oh, they won't do because they're undefeated, aren't they? So it's fine. Yeah. It should be fine. Kukuriki, just a sad mention to them, still on 0 points after 5 games.
Group E, the Greeks are through, and so are Eintracht Frankfurt, who have kind of stumbled their way through that group, but they're still a live dog in this, aren't they? I mean, they beat Bayern Munich 5-1 at the weekend.
Just a little side note as well about the Greek side. The final is in Greece, and we'll look at the Europa League potential third place teams, but there are potentially going to be 4 Greek teams in this competition.
But PAOK, they have Samata.
Dum dum dum.
The return of Samata,
the chosen one,
beckons on the horizon. I mean, they're going to win the group, so we'll probably win our group, so we won't be playing Samata in the next round.
That's destined for the final.
Yes, so watch out for that. Samata is lurking around the Europa Conference League.
Once City are stripped of all their tournaments and trinkets, Samata will go down as a legend, having scored the winning goal in the League Cup final. That's what I'm waiting for.
Meanwhile, in Group H, Fenerbahce, they were strolling through that group. They've managed to lose the last 2 games. And now, despite being in third place, they are playing bottom of the table, Spartak Trnava. So it depends how the other game goes. Ludogorets versus Nordsjælland.
It's not an easy competition, is it, for pronunciation?
No, so Fenerbahce, I think if they win, they'll go through, because the other two teams face off. If they draw, Fenerbahce are through. They'll win the group. But if one of those teams win, then Fenerbahce would just finish second, which that's good news. I want to see them suffer through a playoff against potential Europa League third place teams. I mean, just quickly, let's have a quick look at this likelihood of who's going to be entering the Conference League. You've looking like you've got Olympiacos from West Ham's group. They've only won 1 game of their 5. In Brighton's group, it's not going to be Brighton. It's either Athens or Ajax. So Ajax haven't won yet, but if they beat Athens in Holland, Ajax will enter the Europa Conference League.
They will, and as we might see in a second, they've actually risen up the Dutch league as well. So
could this be a new threat?
Definitely, yeah. If they've got their shit together, then definitely that will be a bigger challenge.
But also a bit more of an event. I mean, if you're playing at Villa Ajax in the final, I mean, you're cooking there, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a night out, that is.
Yeah.
Group C. Now, this is intriguing because
top of the group at the moment. There's two points dividing Real Betis, Rangers, and Sparta Prague. But Rangers have to go to Real Betis, and Sparta Prague are playing Aris Limassol. So if, let's give the benefit of the doubt to Sparta Prague, and they win. That would mean Rangers would need to win to qualify in Real Betis. If they didn't, they'll end up in the Europa Conference League, which would fast become the sexiest European competition with the Rangers and Ajax dropping down into it.
Yeah, definitely makes it more exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah, the other group would see, this is Group D, Sturm Graz. Potentially go in there, although the Polish team Radkow still have something to say about that. I'm imagining those teams are facing off against each other in the group that's got Sporting Lisbon and Atlanta in. Group E, Liverpool's group. Union SG, the Belgium team, are in Liverpool's group. They are at the moment looking the most likely to end up in third place. Then, moving down, Panathinaikos are a shoo-in.
So I think that completes the three Greek teams.
This tournament's going to liven up by the teams dropping down.
Yeah.
Then Servet.
And then it's either, this will be an interesting one, it's either Azerbaijani Karabakh in Group H or Molde, Norwegian side. And yeah, I mean, I'm amazed that an Azeri team, have done quite so well.
So yeah, so there is potentially, you've got Panathinaikos, potentially Rangers, Ajax, all dropping in. So that's why it's kind of handy to get that point in Zrinjski and make sure that business is...
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Done. Looking at the domestic form of Zrinjski, still second to the mighty Borac.
Borac still leading the way.
Borac Banja Luka. Sarajevo 2 points behind Zrinjski. Zrinjski lost 2-1, and then they won 2-0 away at Siroki, who are at sixth. What does that mean, Armin?
Well, Zvezda, which I think means star, they beat them 2-1. That was, I think, about 10 days ago. That was 10 days ago. And Siroki is a pretty solid away win, isn't it? So it goes back to what we were saying earlier. Are they the second in the league? It's not over yet for them. So if they're out of the Europa Conference, why would they field, you know, their strongest team? So
because they've got to finish in the top three in that league to be in European competition next season in some shape or form. I mean, they obviously have to go through a few qualifiers, even if it's just the Conference League.
And Velez Mostar, who battered them a few weeks ago, they're only 3 points behind. So really, it's tight. So,
but as we've seen through the whole tournament, nobody's battered Zrinjski.
No, but they're very, very decent. As I think you said before the group started, just based on where they're from, they're going to be a decent technical side, and I think they have been.
And they're well organised. That's the main thing, defensively well organised. And you saw they got it right tactically against Villa because, you know, they gave Villa one of the hardest games at Villa Park.
Yeah.
The other two teams, Leger, actually got beaten the cup. I don't know if it's the same cup that they won.
It is, yeah. So they won. So they played three games since we last recorded and since we last had a Europa game. So they won 3-0 away at Zagłębie Lubin. Then they lost 2-1 to Corona in the cup. And they've drawn 1-1 away in their last game against LKS.
And they currently sit joint fifth in the table.
Yeah, they're getting further and further now from those top two sides. So Slask still dominating, but their hopes of challenging for the title, I think, are gone now.
I think UEFA hope that they don't qualify for Europe next season.
I think we all do, yeah. Well, what is it you said to me? You said that even the fans in Poland...
Hate Warsaw. Yeah, that's like a well-known thing. I thought it was like initially big city complex, but there's also during communist times, if you were a player and you had to do compulsory military service, you had to play for them, apparently. And that's why they're known as like the army ground, the stadium is known as. So that fed into this kind of hatred, because I just thought it was like big city hatred, like a bit different in England. You've got so many teams in London, but if you know what I mean, if there's one London team, you know, the rest of the, you know, the North especially would kind of hate on them. So I thought it was a bit of that, but it's apparently it's a bit more deeper and it involves this military background. Meanwhile, in Holland, our new friends Alkmaar, who I think a lot of Villa fans will want them to beat Legia Warsaw in Warsaw. But the question is, who's the more live dog in this tournament? I think Alkmaar are always in the top five favourites, weren't they? So if you can get them out, surely that helps you. And they were semi-finalists last season. That will help you long term. Because there's a tradition in football tournaments that a team that barely scrapes through suddenly resurrects, don't they? I mean, we've seen it. Remember, like Italy, 82 World Cup was probably my first experience. They, you know, they barely scraped through. They were drawing most of their games in the group stages and, you know, they end up winning it.
France 98.
Yeah.
They struggled. I think it was a penalty shootout. This is really looking back, but I think it was Paraguay and they won on penalties along the way. So that, you know, they...
So if Alkmaar do get through this, suddenly I'm putting them on the threats list and, you know, Villa fans will go, oh, we've done the double and, you know, we hammered them 4-1. But, you know, that was then. They'll be emboldened. And they're actually, they've had a mixed bag of results. They got a draw at Utrecht. They beat Nijmegen. They got beat at home against Nijmegen and then they won at home against Alkmaar City 4-1. They don't even sound like a proper team, Alkmaar City. But Alkmaar sitting third. They're only 2 points behind Feyenoord, so not out of it. I mean, I think PSV have won that title, no problem. But rising from the dead, Ajax are now fifth on 24 points. A bit behind, but there's still a big chunk of the season to go. So they might get over the line and get into Europe yet.
Yeah.
But the fact that they could be popping up, I mean, that's the game I'll be keeping an eye on in terms of the Europa League. If they win that game at home against the Greeks, then they're in it.
You don't want Ajax in it. I mean, you do from a point of view of a great day out. And
I don't mind tie, but I would like. I would rather win this tournament beating a few names on the way.
Yeah,
knock out
fair.
Rangers, knock out Ajax.
That's fair. Teams on the day should really be in the Champions League, even, you know, at least group stage. So, yeah.
You're I mean, you know, look at, let's go back to West Ham. I mean, they beat AZ in the semis and Fiorentina in the final. You know, that's kind of reasonably respectable.
Yeah.
But the fact that we've already dealt with AZ twice, you need some sprinkles of names just to legitimize it.
But if you add Rangers, Ajax to Fiorentina, Frankfurt, Lille, Fenerbahce, it becomes a respectable tournament.
Yeah.
Or Bruges as well.
We're still the favourites, but we'll get on to that. So how are our threats doing in their respective leagues? Fiorentina, who we just mentioned, are currently seventh, joint with Napoli, who are in sixth, both on 24 points. But then, you know, there's 25 points Bologna, 25 points Roma in fourth. So it is kind of tight for those, say, last European places.
And they just drew away at Roma 1-1, where Roma had two red cards with Lukaku sent off as well. So that was a good result given the team just above them.
So they've been in the same area of the Italian league for a long time now. This kind of scraping into Europe seems to be their raison d'etre.
I think they're trying to sneak into the conference again. I think that's the dream.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Germany, we already mentioned Frankfurt spanked by Munich out of nowhere, 5-1.
And didn't move up in the table. Stayed in seventh.
But they remain in seventh, just outside the European places. 2 points behind Hoffenheim. This is only after 14 games. 4 points behind Dortmund in fifth. Bayern Munich actually are second. They have a game in hand on Leverkusen. Two of our players, old team, Leverkusen.
Well, Leverkusen have Xabi Alonso as manager, and he's, you know, become the kind of hipster favourite.
We're just waiting to find out who our next signing from Leverkusen is in the next summer transfer window.
Do we need another winger?
To play alongside Diaby and Bailey on the right-hand side.
should we just keep buying their wingers and see how many?
Yeah, their right winger every time.
Yeah.
In the French league, as we said, Lille are fourth at the moment. PSG will potentially win that league, as they always do. Nice are really the only realistic challengers. I mean, Monaco was 6 points behind Nice, 4 points behind PSG. Then it's Lille, who are 9 points behind PSG. The big surprise is Lyon are actually bottom of the league.
Yeah, finished seventh last season.
Missed out on Europe last season, and just they were so upset by it, they just self-destructed.
They didn't, Ajax.
Yeah. But anyway, obviously there will be new contenders in the Europa Conference League that we will know about come the end of the week or Thursday night at least. Any changes in the odds for this tournament?
Yeah, we haven't moved. We're still 7-2. Fiorentina are now 6-1 from 8-1.
Tightening.
Yep. So that's a change. Frankfurt still 10-1, so they're third. So that's the top three that's remained continuous, hasn't it? Aston Villa, Fiorentina, Frankfurt. Just weird sitting Aston Villa at the top, isn't it? Always consistently favourite.
Lille have popped up a place above Fenerbahce, now 12-1.
Yeah,
Fenerbahce have slipped down to 14-1.
Well, they were unbeaten in all competitions, weren't they, only a few weeks ago? And they've sort of...
Now everybody's beating them.
Yeah. I think the old players are just knackered now.
Yeah. All these 40-year-olds, exactly. they've had enough. They've spent their race.
In December.
AZ, still 25-1. I mean, I think that will drop drastically if they manage to pull out a miracle against Warsaw. It'd be interesting to see how that's adjusted, to see if they're still fancied. But that's the runners and riders at the moment. Would you want Rangers in this?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've played Hibs and that was quite a good atmosphere. And I would like to play maybe somebody a little bit. I mean, even Aberdeen look like they're stronger than Hibs were. It would be good to have a game against, you know, Rangers Celtic just to see where they're at. The atmospheres will be great. I mean, to be fair, playing away at Rangers, it will be the tough venue for the players to go. Quality-wise, will be streets ahead. Yeah. But that is a. But then again, what's the point of being in a competition if you're not going to have any challenges along the way? It would just basically be Man City for the last 3 years, which probably is quite boring now.
If you play Ajax, you'll get a decent allocation,
and both games would have, you know, great atmospheres. It does matter that they're respected names. You want to, you know, like you said, you do want to beat good teams. And I think so far we've been lucky in that we have played two recognisable teams and we've beaten AZ twice.
You know, you feel like you're in a proper European tournament. So I think we've had a great group. So looking forward to the draw actually when it's announced. But a lot's going to happen before then, obviously, as we find out who filters down from the Europa League. And yeah, you look at those Europa League tables, there's not that much difference between Conference League and Europa League, really.
No, the only difference is the sprinkling of kind of a Liverpool or somebody like that who are, you know, favourites, who would be favourites ahead of us, I guess. We don't have that in this competition. But
yeah,
where we were at the end of last season with UEFA Cup possibility, Europa League possibility or the Conference League, I'm sure I've had a conversation with you where we felt possibly it's going to be a hindrance on the league. Do you think it has had any kind of negative impact? I know we're obviously flying in the league, but
it hasn't really, has it?
No, but do you think we potentially would have had better results, or actually has it had a good effect on the team and provided more minutes of fitness? And
It's been utilized, which previously, like the League Cup, for example, I remember when we were kind of doing okay, I think it was under Smith, and we played Stoke, and it was a great opportunity for the likes of Lansbury and there's a few others who weren't getting minutes to get up to speed, because you're thinking if they're needed, if they're called on for injuries, suspensions, at least they'd have had, you know, they'd have played games. And we just bottled that game and we got beat by Stoke, and it was just bad attitude. We had enough on that pitch to win comfortably.
Yeah.
And here you've got a tournament where, I mean, I thought Emery was a bit drastic at the start in terms of really mashing up that defence, for example, for that game. I mean, it's his old ground, we've spoken about it, where I thought, let's go strong, win the group, and then you could potentially have two games off, really. So we don't know the knock-on. I mean, up to this point, we've done well, but you saw against Arsenal and Manchester City that the players were kind of hanging a bit at the end of those games.
Definitely.
And there had to be substitutions on the 60th minute just to rescue some of them. So you say you don't know, but you can't complain where we are. And when you look at this tournament, and if you win the group, the next time you play is March.
Yeah.
Obviously, then it's a factor of... Is this impacting on our season? And the only way it's going to impact on our season is, will it stop us winning the league? and will it stop us getting in the top four just from spreading yourself too thin? But I'm seeing enough in terms of the squad rotation, especially with Moreno and Ramsey back, that's massive, that it's not going to impact us too much. You just got to look back at Martin O'Neill and CSK Moscow, where he decided, right, we're chucking in this tournament in the second leg because it's more important to beat Stoke at the weekend than it is to beat CSK Moscow away. So he rested the full team against Stoke. You 2-0 up and you're thinking, okay.
Yeah.
And then Stoke equalised 2 goals in the last you know, last 5 minutes or whatever it was.
Still hurts.
And you think, well, so they were rested and fresh, were they? Because they didn't go to Moscow. Well, they fucking faded at the end of that game. So you don't know. It's not quantifiable. But I think if Villa are in the semi-final and then they've got to play a big game, we've seen it this week or last week, we can do. You can beat Manchester City and Arsenal if you manage your team rightly. And Emery seems to know what he's doing in that respect because there's evidence for it.
No, he's done a great job so far.
So now we're at the stage where we've handled Sunday to Thursday pretty well. So far, it seems to be okay. And we've got 2 months off now, so there's no excuses. You've got to keep winning in the league. And then hopefully you've cemented yourself to an extent that you will probably get Champions League regardless of what happens in Europe from then on in.
Yeah, let's hope we're still here in March.
But, you know, big teams, good teams compete on several fronts. And I think it's helped us being knocked out of the League Cup.
What about FA Cup? Because I couldn't give a shit this year. I want to win it one day, but I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah, this year I don't care. It's since we're kind of getting used to what we're doing here in terms of being, let's say, one of the better teams. I want to win that European tournament, and we're in Europa Vision. I want to win the Europa Conference League and qualify for the Champions League. The title, you know, we're in the race, but we're not in the race until let's say March if we're still kicking around, and in the final furlong you're either above or within a few points of Manchester City and the like. But the main thing is Champions League, and if we win this cup you'd have ticked two massive boxes. One is winning something, and the second box is obviously Champions League, which financially changes the whole ball game.
I can only imagine the Europa Vision budget if we make the Champions League.
Right, on that note, as we look ahead to potential European glory on so many fronts, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.